Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And I want to invite you to our next Brian Lehrer Show public event this Friday morning at 8:30 at the New School on 12th Street near 6th Avenue in Manhattan. The topic this time is Cities at Risk, the Benefit of Hindsight. We will see how New York and other cities can learn from 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina. This will be, again, Friday morning. Our guests will be two former FEMA directors, Michael Brown, yes, Michael Brown, and James Lee Witt, who served for all 8 years of the Clinton administration, plus Martin O'Malley, the mayor of Baltimore, very involved in these issues, and Clark Kent Irvin, former inspector general for the Department of Homeland Security, who left recently and has a lot to say about that new, very large department. This event will be presented with the Milano School for Management and Urban Policy. Admission is free, but reservations are necessary. Again, it's Friday morning at 8:30 at the New School. And for more information on how to make a reservation, see the events page at WNYC.org. Well, this morning we, of course, have been hearing about the resignation of Texas Congressman Tom DeLay. But this afternoon, WNYC will be airing a documentary produced by KUT, the public radio station in Austin, commemorating the life of a very different Texas congressperson, Barbara Jordan. She, of course, was the first African-American woman to be elected to the House of Representatives from the South. Many know Jordan for her speech 30 years ago at the Democratic National Convention, 1976, the one that nominated Jimmy Carter. That speech has been touted by many as one of the most electrifying keynote addresses in modern times.
My presence here is one additional bit of evidence that the American dream need not forever be deferred.
And while that speech introduced this Spitfire woman to a national audience, Texans had known for a long time that Barbara Jordan was someone special, at least as a power broker in the state legislature, as well as for what she had to say and what she did. So joining me this morning to preview the documentary, which we will air this afternoon at 2 on AM 820 WNYC, is the producer, Wayne Bell. Wayne, welcome to WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thanks.
The title of the documentary is Rediscovering Barbara Jordan. Why that title and why now?
Well, she's sort of been lost. We are now at the 10-year mark of her passing, and this also, February, would have been her 70th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So that seemed like, in terms of round numbers, a good time to take another look. But also, she has sort of been lost because a person doesn't continue oftentimes their legacy if they weren't in public life very long, and she was only a congresswoman for 6 years. If they didn't do something truly extraordinary, the volume of their legacy gets lost. So it these days especially, she seems like a very good antidote to these times. So for many reasons, now is a good time.
And there's so much great tape of Barbara Jordan, who was such a great speaker. We'll play some more clips as we go along here. For example, the church was extremely important to those around Barbara Jordan. And here she is talking in the documentary a little bit about the role it played in her early life.
I had to go to church every Sunday when I was growing up, and all day long. And I can say it like it was drudgery, but it was important to my family. It remains important to me.
And it's funny, Wayne, because people so often compare her style of speaking, public speaking, to that of a preacher, and yet there she kind of makes it sound like an obligation going to church.
Well, her dad was a pretty strong individual, and he didn't broke any nonsense from either of his three daughters. He ended up becoming a preacher later. At that point in her life, he was just sort of the a head deacon or, one of the important people in their church. But her life, her early life, is full of preachers. The most influential people in her life up till about age 20, 21, were preachers.
Such as, was Howard Thurman a preacher?
Yeah. And Howard Thurman. I'm so glad you mentioned it, Brian, because in the documentary, we only had 45 minutes of content, really, to get across her whole story. And one of the areas that got short shrifted was Howard Thurman, who's such an important guy in the history of American thought. And she experienced him in Boston University.
Influenced Martin Luther King.
And many others in that movement. He was one of the few that actually went to India and experienced Gandhi firsthand and brought that message back.
Now, the documentary focuses in part on Barbara Jordan's work on the House Judiciary Committee. After her election to the House, she worked almost immediately on the effort to see if President Nixon should be impeached. Let's listen to part of one of her speeches from that era.
Earlier today, we heard the beginning of the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. We the people. It's a very eloquent beginning. But when that document was completed on the 17th of September in 1787, I was not included in that we the people. I felt somehow for many years that George Washington and Alexander Hamilton just left me out by mistake. But through the process of amendment, interpretation, and court decision, I have finally been included in we the people. Today, I am an inquisitor. And hyperbole would not be fictional and would not overstate the solemnness that I feel right now. My faith in the Constitution is whole, it is complete, it is total. And I am not going to sit here and be an idle spectator to the diminution, the subversion, the destruction of the Constitution.
Former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan, as a member of the House Judiciary Committee investigating the possible impeachment of Richard Nixon. Back then, in the early 1970s, we're playing clips from a new radio documentary called Rediscovering Barbara Jordan that will air in full at 2 o'clock this afternoon on AM 820 WNYC. We're talking with the producer, Wayne Bell. And did you rediscover anything about her role in those impeachment proceedings?
Yep. First of all, Brian, even if Barbara Jordan dropped off the map after that speech, that moment was enough to cement her place in history. That was a seminal moment in this critical time in American history as we were at war with ourselves once again, but this time over Richard Nixon. But it turns out that throughout the process, in the closed doors of the committee, she was a very steadying voice. One person that is not in the documentary who wanted to be in was from New Jersey, Congressman Peter Rodino, who was the chairman of that committee. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be in this, but then his health failed, and I actually went to Newark to interview him, and he couldn't make the interview, and he passed away a few weeks later. But he credits Barbara Jordan with having been a steadying influence, because it was just as now, partisan politics was such a major player, and the whole thing could have fractured and fallen apart, but for some centrist folks like Barbara Jordan, who held it together, stayed focused, and stayed principled.
Now, one thing that struck us about this documentary was the section about her career in the Texas legislature. She, of course, created huge waves upon her election and her swearing in, and a lot of the older white men were shocked and perhaps horrified to share the state house with a woman and a black woman at that. But as you describe it, she really killed them with kindness. How did she win over the good old boys?
This is a pretty amazing story, and it's not given enough in this documentary. In fact, she is such a good story that 45 minutes is just too short. But Charlie Wilson, who is famous to some of your listeners for the book Charlie Wilson's War, served in the U.S. in the state Senate with her and then served in the U.S. Congress with her and was perhaps her closest friend when she was in Washington. And he puts it this way, that she carried herself with such moral authority and personal integrity that no one really dared take her on. Add to that her charm. And Barbara was a big gal and had a big voice, and so you don't think of charm first off, but in fact she could be very charming. And she just did a great job of going to even the most obstreperous white old guy and saying, I'm here to be a part of the Senate. I respect the Senate. How may I help you? May I learn from you? And that kind of respect, which is the thing they feared they would not get from a new black senator from inner city Houston, that kind of respect caught them by surprise.
And they eventually invited her to go hunting with them.
More than once. And she, in fact, she became the person you always wanted at the social events related to the legislature. She was just magnetic and would draw people to her. And then, you know, later on, after plenty of Cutty Sark, she would pull out the guitar and sing songs and tell jokes and after you've listened to so many congressmen pontificate or legislators pontificate for a while, she was a welcome relief.
And she probably never shot any of her hunting buddies in the face. Well, all right, cheap shot.
She did not shoot.
let's play another clip. Still in the impeachment of Nixon period, when the motion whether or not Congress should impeach the president came to the House floor, Barbara Jordan was given a prime speaking slot. Let's listen.
If the impeachment provision in the Constitution of the United States will not reach the offenses charged here, then perhaps that 18th century Constitution should be abandoned to a 20th century paper shredder. Has the president committed offenses and planned and directed and acquiesced in a course of conduct which the Constitution will not tolerate? That's the question. We know that. We know the question. We should now forthwith proceed to answer the question. It is reason and not passion which must guide our deliberations, guide our debate, and guide our decision. I yield back the balance of my time, Mr. Chairman.
Barbara Jordan from the impeachment debate regarding Richard Nixon in the House Judiciary Committee in 1974, as we listened to clips from a new documentary called Rediscovering Barbara Jordan 10 years after she died, on what would have been the 70th anniversary of her birth this year, with Wayne Bell, producer of the documentary from public radio station KUT in Austin. We will air it in full at 2 o'clock this afternoon on AM 820 WNYC. Wayne, was that considered the pinnacle of her career, or what else might have been?
The 1976 Democratic National Convention, nominating convention, her keynote speech that you mentioned earlier, is probably the peak of her political career. But her career, in a way, took on an even greater sense, although it wasn't as public, after she left Congress, because since she was no longer running, she could become more the statesman philosopher, and she was without peer in terms of integrity and moral authority in the country. If Barbara Jordan spoke for your cause or against your cause, it was a done deal as to what was going to happen with your cause. Witness the Bork hearings when Robert Bork was nominated by Reagan for the Supreme Court. Barbara Jordan was one of those strong voices that went to Washington and spoke against him, and he was not confirmed.
You know, one of the other issues that Barbara Jordan is associated with, you don't get into this much in the documentary, but it's the one that the country is consumed with right at this moment this week, and that is immigration. And in fact, here's an email from a listener who says, I was an enormous admirer of Barbara Jordan. I was actually at the Democratic Convention when she gave the famous speech, but was disturbed by what I saw as an anti-immigration turn that she took toward the end of her career. Could you ask your guest to talk about her views on immigration? Did you research that?
Yes. Again, it does get short shrift, but so does everything else.
And I should put that in
full life.
Yes, and she headed under President Clinton, I think, an immigration policy commission that came up with recommendations that were not always seen as politically correct by one side or another.
And that actually marks her whole career as not fitting the orthodoxy of one side or another. Very Texan on her part, a very independent maverick. And immigration is a no-win situation, and President Clinton, who is in this documentary, pardon me, Brian, said as much, that it was a no-win situation that he was putting her in. The chairmanship of that commission was the only position the president could fill. Everybody else in it had already been named by Congress, and so he had to choose someone who could somehow wrangle these very conflicting sides into some kind of consensus. And she did it, and she did it in such a way that this group of people who were at odds all the time were almost unanimous on every resolution that they passed. You got to remember one difference between then and now. Welfare reform was a major issue, and in her mind, we were about to put into the workforce a lot of folks, low-skilled folks, who would have to compete with the unskilled illegal immigrants who could work cheaper. And so she was concerned about those people, and that was one of the issues that affected their view about, you know, illegal immigration is still illegal. They didn't criminalize it like the current legislation, but they sought to make for a larger legal immigration, that legal immigration is an important part of who we are, and we need it. It is American. And the most important thing I think she talked about was that Americanization, that after people get here, including them, bringing them in, both the language, the process. Americanization is a good term, not as the xenophobic term that was used in the 1920s, but as a positive thing.
We have a minute left. Here's one more email, which says, I came across several internet references to Barbara Jordan as a lesbian, which was news to me, writes this listener. Was she gay?
I did not confirm that. The external evidence would indicate, yeah, probably so. But in her life, she never made an issue of it, nor did she ever come out, if indeed there was any coming out to be done.
The listener asks, continuing on the email, what do you think it suggests that someone who was so comfortable with herself in so many ways had to keep her long-term relationship with another woman secret? Of course, you weren't able to confirm that there was a relationship, but
she kept much of her life private. Her whole issue of MS, multiple sclerosis, that eventually ended her life, she kept totally secret. Even her best friends did not know what she had. So that's a pattern that she chose early on in her life, that her private life is really private.
All right. Wayne Bell is producer of the new documentary, Rediscovering Barbara Jordan. We will air it this afternoon at 2 o'clock on AM 820 WNYC. Wayne Bell is from the public station in Austin, KUT. Wayne, thanks a lot.
You bet, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.